welcome to Underdog Stuff, the intersection of, you know, pop culture and personal growth. Always getting underdog's perspective on what's going on in the news and the culture from all the angles. Hosted by me, Gregory Neesmith, an entrepreneur and into all things underdog stuff. And today, it's episode 97. We almost had a hot it. 97, we getting there. Actually, I can't wait for 99 so I can play a little Jay-Z and I got 99 problems, but ain't one.
I thought you were going to party like it's 1999.
Oh, I'm going to play both.
And they can't see me dancing.
They don't even know who you are yet. But those who listen, though, they actually do know who you are. And with that, we're going to have episode 97 today. New house, new list, new you. And it'll all make sense before we get out of here. We're going to talk about the Dems in the house, folks being racist and being late. Yeah, it's still a thing. And then, you know what? We're bringing back our favorite segment called Unlisted. Listed didn't exist anywhere else until they existed here. And when we did it the first time, we had some ADD and some TLC. And I figured if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. And so in a second, I'm about to introduce who those acronyms are because they're actually in the studio. Special guest today, our intern producer extraordinaire, Terry Lynn Crawford, co-host and creator of The Tea Room and aspiring talk radio show host in the building. What up, Terry Lynn?
How are you?
I'm good. Can I call you TLC?
Yes.
TLC. For folks who may be a little old school, they probably thought he's got two of the members of TLC on the show today, but TLC stands for Terry Lynn Crawford, just so they know. And in the
T-Boss Left Eye and Chili Tuto.
But they're not here. People might think that they're here. I don't want to mislead, though.
The only one who's not here is Left Eye.
That's true. Rest in peace, Left Eye. Shout out to the two other members of TLC that are still alive and well. With that, the voice you heard to kick off the show, and you were like, who is that? It's ADD, a.k.a. Asha Destiny Davis, ad exec, proud Torontonian, and rising star stand-up comedian in the building.
Hello.
It's good to have you back.
AKA attention deficit disorder herself.
She can say that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not about to get no calls. Not about, you know, people out here listening. The next thing you know, Gregory's out here calling people names. ADD is for Asha Destiny Davis when I say it.
Thank you, sir.
That's all I'm saying.
And only because I add to situations, I never subtract from nothing. Bars.
That's cool. We may play instrumental.
Yo, let me you in the freestyle. Studio. Wait, I am.
Yes, we're in the studio. Turn me up in the headphones, dog. With that, a lot of stuff going on in the news right now.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it, but I plan to, but Surviving R. Kelly is in the news. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive what all six parts of it that I still have to watch. And I plan to watch it, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it on the show in the future segments and episodes. But, man. Just heart goes out to the victims of R. Kelly out here. And hopefully some justice will be found for those victims. While things can't get better or the past can't be changed, hopefully they can at least go get R. Kelly for out here being a monster. With that, did either one of you actually see Surviving R. Kelly?
I saw clips of it and pieces of it. It's kind of difficult to watch, to be honest. It's like, because it's actually putting a face to the stories that you've heard for so many years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially when you see someone like John Legend, you know, speaking so candidly about the situation, I think that it's one thing, you know, to see a tweet about it or whatever, but to actually watch people talking on camera and, you know, you can see the emotions in their face, it's quite, it's tough, man. And I've had, you know, since this whole thing came out, I've had discussions with my friends and folks in my life about it. And these are like heated conversations that, you know, this is a very divisive, you know, you think America is divisive and Donald Trump, you know, divides people. R. Kelly divides people, man. This is a serious thing.
It does. And some people still out here checking for R. Kelly and riding with him.
Even celebrities, you know, Little Mo came out defending him. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I think it's if you're still on the R. Kelly train, it's time to get off.
Even Ebro, you know, the argument, I don't know, did you hear what Ebro was saying from Hot 97?
Yeah.
Well, you know, basically saying, for those who don't know, basically saying, you know, you have to separate the person from their art, and he's separating R. Kelly from his art. And so he can still like the music and think that R. Kelly's, you know, a despicable person, which I find it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation to have, you know.
It is, but to me, his music now is a footnote to his body of work as a person. He's been out here doing more harm to women for a longer period of time than he's been doing music that I've been listening to.
But do you think that the reaction would be, do you think that this would have been ignored for this many years if it was white women that he was doing it to?
Probably not, but I have seen over the past couple years that women in general get ignored.
Yeah, I mean, it's like just
the Harvey Weinstein women got ignored.
It's just interesting because this is something that everybody's known. And, you know, I watched an interview, for example, with one of the jurors from the case, and they were basically saying the reason he, remember when he was on trial the first time, that's when Ignition came out, the Chocolate Factory album, that was like a hot R. Kelly year. And when he, one of the jurors said, they didn't believe the girls, because these are like, you know, girls from Chicago and black and not, you know, the most dolled up chicks. So, you know, they're coming to a court and they're, you know, not wearing Chanel suits, to say the least, you know, and, you know, actual jurors said they just didn't believe the women.
No, I mean, so I think it's fair, right? If we talk about who gets the benefits of the doubt, that unfortunately women of color, especially black women, end up having less benefit of the doubt and getting less justice. So that is true, which makes it even worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to me, that we should be even more out to make sure we get R. Kelly, to let folks know that supposedly if 2018 was the year of the woman, I'm still not sure yet. I got Christine Blasey Ford, people just ignoring her. I got folks ignoring R. Kelly victims. And so I think, like I've said before, 2018 is the year of the woman, just like 2008 was the year of black folks, in the year of Obama's, in the year of post-racial society. Yeah, progress got made in 2008 when it came to race, and progress got made in 2018 when it came to women's rights and the Me Too movement, but there's still more work to be done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because as of right now, we ain't surviving nothing when it comes to how we react to when women are being assaulted and harassed. So more to come. This story will continue to develop, and we will, as always, talk about it, because that's what we do. We talk about some of the unavoidable news here. Also, you know what else is in the news that caught me off guard? Kevin Hart is hosting the Oscars. Oh, no, 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 no. Kevin Hart's not hosting the Oscars. Kevin Hart's hosting the Oscars. No, Kevin Hart's not hosting the Oscars. I'm not watching the Oscars. Kevin Hart's hosting the Oscars. I'm not watching the Oscars. Kevin Hart is not hosting the Oscars.
I have Tourette's. What did you just say?
I said that Kevin Hart is... Oh, I don't know.
Are you playing tennis? What? My head... I'm dizzy, bro. I'm dizzy, bro.
I'm dizzy, too. I don't know about you guys, but Kevin Hart may be hosting the Oscars?
Ellen, I mean, Ellen came to his defense, which is a surprise. And for anyone that knows me, knows I'm a big Ellen fan as a comic, like as a stand-up. And she came to his defense for a variety of reasons, which, you know, are near the... And she actually did a bit of damage to her reputation as a result of coming to his defense, actually. And basically, Ellen said that she personally asked the Academy to reinstate him as the host, and they said they want to, and he's kind of like, it's up to him if he wants to do it.
Terry Lynn, where are you at on this? Is it time for Kevin Hart to host the Oscars or not host the Oscars?
No, he already made a statement and said what he said. Yeah. So I feel like him hosting it, you're backpedaling as a comedian. So I think he should stand by what he said. And if you don't want to see him as a host, then you know, that might happen.
I think it's time to let it go.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. Looks like another love.
Let it go, let it go, let it. You don't know about Waiting to Exhale soundtrack. Yo, son, don't even try to quote songs, eh?
I was about to go with
just
like Beyonce.
You don't know about Toni Braxton? Birdman just broke up. All right, sorry, I'm gonna stay on topic.
Yo, put some put some respect on it.
Another topic.
Yo, put some respect on Birdman's name out here in these streets.
No, but just as a comic, if you want my two cents on Kevin Hart hosting the Oscars, did you ask for it? Because I won't say it if you don't care.
I'd rather talk about that because I don't know much about the Waiting to Exhale. Although I did watch the movie. Whitney was in it. Rest in peace, Whitney. Who else was in it? No, there was a lot of people in it. That guy from the Allstate commercial.
That guy from the Allstate commercial. Okay, you know what? Oh, we're gonna move on.
It's the intersection of pop culture and personal growth. I do the personal growth part. No, you're too sensitive. Kevin Hart.
I'll be moving on. Okay, that wasn't on the soundtrack. No, but for Kevin Hart, no, from my perspective, you know, the reason that he stepped down is because, you know, if you guys, for those who don't know the actual joke that got him in trouble, it was because he basically has a whole bit. It wasn't just one joke. It was a whole bit in one of his specials where he said he didn't want his son to grow up gay, right? And so there's a whole series of comedic things that he would be doing if he saw his son growing up with gay tendencies, like if he was playing with dolls, I'd smash the doll or whatever, right? And it's meant to be comedic. It's a stand-up special, right? So it's not one joke, it's not an offhand tweet, it's literally an entire bit, okay? So he's like, his first apology was kind of like, this is me, that was a joke, and you know what, if that is offensive and, you know, I don't want the attention to be on me and not the Oscars, so you know what, I'm gonna step down, because if you guys are coming at me for that, there's probably a lot more stuff they're gonna find, because it's comedy, yes. Right? And so basically Ellen's coming to his defense was, guys, it's comedy. You know, I'm a gay person and I found it comical. You know what I mean? Because it's a joke. And so for him to now, the fact, though, is that when you listen to the pundits, people are definitely hurt by it. People are hurt because in the communities of color, there is a huge stigma with Black people and their family. And it's very, it's much more difficult to come out as gay when you're Black. And, you know, that there's that whole extra element of it. And so, long story short, I actually agree with TLC. I think he should stick by his guns, because if that's what it's coming to and you need to be that sterile in order to host the Oscars, that you could have never said anything or made a joke about anything, then like they're going to be hard pressed. So then to find somebody. So then that's going to have to be a bigger conversation, because when you see people like, you know, calling out Sarah Silverman and Chelsea Handler for having, you know, offensive things, if they want to go down this rabbit hole, any funny person they pick is going to have something that's problematic. Yep. So Kevin Hart shouldn't be the one that's dying on the cross for this issue, because I don't think he should have to change that element of his comedy.
I agree with you. I think it's time for Kevin Hart to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. And the Oscars, I think, is also realizing that they may have made a bad decision, and they'll get to figure out how they rectify that some other way. It doesn't have to be Kevin Hart's responsibility to do that. All right. Some else news, unavoidable news. There's some politics, unavoidable news. Have you heard of this guy?
We're going to win with every single facet. We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much.
And so all the winning that he was talking about, this happened.
Thank you very much, Leader McCarthy. I look forward to working with you in a bipartisan way for the good of our country, respecting our constituents. You are every one of you. I respect you.
You know who that is?
Constituents who
your favorite woman in the world, Miss Pelosi?
One of us here. Hold they on, see, expect.
Now I got to cut the mic. No. don't tell people stuff that's not true about me.
I know how much you love a good Nancy. I know you love your Nancy.
Donald Trump said we were going to get tired of winning. And maybe some House Republicans got tired of winning, because they didn't win in November. And as a result, Nancy Pelosi just took over as leader of the House, and the Democrats took over as the majority in the House of Representatives. And no, Nancy is not my favorite Nancy or my favorite Pelosi. But I'm happy that, I don't know if I'm happy that she's the Speaker of the House, but I'm happy that the Democrats took over the House.
You like Nancy Kerrigan more than you like Nancy Pelosi?
We didn't get to unlisted yet. I think Nancy Pelosi is better for the underdog, though.
I'm going to go with Nancy Drew as my favorite Nancy.
I'm trying to think of my favorite Nancy. Maybe during the break, I'm going to Google Nancy and see what comes up. But there's a new Congress, and the new Congress is very diverse, too. A lot of women up in there. First time ever, over 100 Congress people are, over 100 of them are women.
Both. We got POCs. We got AOCs.
Oh, I see what you did
you
there.
You see what I did there? Yo, we talking about acronyms? Come on now.
ADD and TLC rocking with AOC, who's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Who's also a POC.
Yes, that is true. And are you excited about this big wave of diversity that is coming to Congress?
Of course, this is fantastic. It's phenomenal. It still doesn't actually accurately represent the wave of diversity that is America, but it's getting closer.
Speaking of, I think I saw a stat, and Terry Lynn, I think you might have some fun facts about this new Congress and diversity, but I think it's maybe like 25% women or something like that. And as we know, there's definitely more than 25% women in the country.
Yeah, just check Tinder. We know.
I definitely have.
He's like, I definitely been on Tinder. I know about that.
Congratulations. Maybe, you played maybe, yourself.
Maybe my favorite Nancy is on Tinder. Who knows? With that, what talk to me, Terry Lynn, about some of the diversity that's going on in Congress. What are some of those fun facts?
So the House now has the first Native American woman to ever serve Congress.
Not Elizabeth Warren.
Ooh, you know she had to apologize for that.
She did.
You know she had to apologize for that this week.
A teaser. We're gonna talk about Elizabeth in the unlisted. She comes up.
She does.
She said, I am not a POC.
All right. What else?
But she still felt the need to get it.
I am not a person of color. I am not.
He had that queued up.
You can't make this up. I told you, I was out late, but I still prepared a little something. Come on, I'm a professional.
Professional.
All right, Terry Lynn, some other fun facts about Elizabeth Warren. I mean, about the new.
About Nancy? Okay, sorry. No, about the new.
I'm going to find my favorite Nancy. the new Congress. Some other fun facts about all the diversity.
So 34% of incoming Democrat House representatives are people of color versus 2% of Republicans.
So Republicans did not get the memo about diversity yet?
They did not.
Fair enough.
You know what? They got 2%. That's probably better than, you know, it's 1% at a time.
Fair enough. Couple other fun facts.
4 new Democratic LGBT candidates were elected.
Awesome.
Oh, that's something diversity, that's really big.
Make it happen. And give me at least 2 more.
Let's see here. 52% of the 67 incoming House Democrat freshmen are female. Only 4.5% of the 44 incoming Republican freshmen are female. So also 2.
But only you know 2. What? That's double. That's double the other percent, though. 4.5. We're getting there.
Shout out to all the diversity. And shout out to the Democrats and Republicans. Y'all got work to do. All that winning. Y'all need to win some more diversity.
We are winning bigly. Tremendous winnings.
Except in the House. And a bunch of other stuff.
Definitely not in Donald Trump's Atlantic City casino, I'll tell you that much. That don't exist.
We're going to win with every single facet.
That's what they said before they demolished the building.
All I have to say is this.
I am not a person of color.
Just, we'll get to her in a second. I Googled some Nancys.
Hold on, my favorite Nancy's Nancy Drew, just to recap.
And Terry Lynn?
I don't have a favorite Nancy. I have one for you, Nancy Grace.
Well, no, I found one.
You okay?
Nancy from Harlem.
Nancy, if you're listening, call in because you're Gregory's favorite.
She doesn't even exist, but I made her.
She exists. You want me to find you a Nancy in Harlem? I'll go on Tinder.
No. No, let's go into the other of the week.
And we Bumble? Is that your preference?
You see how he paused? He said Bumble. He said, I don't mess with Tinder, but Bumble could get it.
What's better for the underdog?
7-second delay.
That's going to be an unlisted question at some point. What's better for the underdog, Bumble or Tinder? I see neither one of you have an answer for that one.
No. I'm going to go with Christian Meets.
She said ChristianMingle.com.
That's great for the underdog. I'm serious.
Yo, I almost slid out my chair. She said ChristianMeets.com.
Yo.
Oh, gosh. I need Jesus too much. Jesus, I can't even go
I
on
that. I think that'd be great.
I think my registration.
God knows your heart.
Hallelujah.
God.
Praising your mom or her.
You know what God.
Praise Nancy.
Well, you, the un of the week. Real quick. Then this week, the un stands for unbelievable. And maybe God knows these people's hearts. But there was a poll about people still being racist in America.
Wow. Wow. And that got that pivoted quickly. Wow. There was a poll for being racist in America. All right.
I know, but God, and hopefully maybe God knows the heart.
Jesus.
Maybe he doesn't. I'm saying real quick, it was under the week. People were waiting for it.
We were laughing. We were mid-joke, and then you took it there, bro.
Well, because I'm still trying to figure out whether it's humble or tender.
And so it's ChristianMingle.com.
That's what it is.
My membership got revoked because they say you need Jesus. You can't come here, boo. Go on Bumble.
Put God first. You know who needs to put God first?
Nancy Pelosi?
No, Nancy in Harlem.
Nancy in Harlem got Jesus in her heart. Don't make me go get it. Don't make me go, okay, unlisted. Racism right. In America.
No, not 1,000%. Under the week.
Okay.
There was a poll that found there's still people who need God in their heart. 20% of Trump voters said they did not approve of slaves being free.
What?
Yes, that's why it's the end of the week.
Bro, you gotta lead up to that. Are you telling me that, okay, you know that 20% is 1 in 5.
That's
that
a lot of people.
1 in 5 people think that slaves should be free.
That means if you were in South Carolina right now, walking down the street, every fifth person you pass would have literally, from a Times magazine poll, not some random, like I did a survey.
Hold on, Time or Times? Because those are two different ones.
Time.
Okay, oh, the real one.
The real one.
Just to make sure it's a thing.
And they found that 20% of Trump supporters did not approve of slaves being free. And this wasn't a poll from like 1876 that they did like a Throwback Thursday poll. This was like a recent poll.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, obviously.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, no, because Charlottesville, I mean, it makes sense that these racists would say that. You know what I mean? Nobody's denied, like, that is like the ultimate bravery for you to say, I don't think slaves should have been free. Like, Black people should still be slaves. Like, that is crazy.
Well, as.
Should we be happy that 80% said actually the opposite?
No, we should be upset that 20%.
Like, this is crazy.
It's crazy. And as Andrew Gillum said about his opponent, I'm going to say this about Trump. I'm not saying that Trump is a racist, but the racists think he's racist.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense why they hated Obama.
A lot. That was the end of the week.
That was quite the... You should have stopped us laughing before you brought that up, bro. I'm going to just say.
I know.
Because that was sad.
I got to do better. But guess what? The other another week is that being late is good for your health.
Early.
Yeah. See, I told you I tried to bring it back.
Yeah. You didn't get my joke there because Philly people always say early.
That joke was a good one. You know what I mean?
Okay. You missed it. You were not a Beanie Siegel fan, I guess. Anyway.
I was trying to think of a Beanie song in my head.
Shout out to Nancy.
Nancy from Harlem. Mm,
if you're listening, call in, boo. I got a man for you.
Hopefully it's Nancy Jackson.
What? Jackson?
Yeah.
Why?
Because a sister.
But not, okay. Nancy. He wants a Black woman named Nancy is basically what that was.
Not Nancy Pelosi. All right. Time for unlisted. You ready? List that didn't exist anywhere until we made them up here.
Okay.
And the question is always, what's better for underdogs? This or that? And there may not be a right answer, but I'm going to come up with one before we end the segment.
Cool.
And we're also going to play back people's poll results from IG, which hopefully I'll get a signal in the studio and we'll make that happen. All right. First one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
What's better for the underdogs? This is a politics one. Better for the underdogs. This.
We have begun a political revolution to transform America. And that revolution, our revolution, continues.
Better for the underdogs, that or this.
I am not a person of color. I am not a citizen of a tribe. When I first ran for public office, the first time was in 2012, and the Republicans honed in on this part of my history and thought they could make a lot of hay out of it. A lot of racial slurs and a lot of ugly stuff that went on. And so my decision was, I'm just going to put it all out there.
Better for the underdogs, Elizabeth Warren, Senator from Massachusetts, or Bernie Sanders, Senator from, I believe, Vermont.
I'm going to just say, I don't have herpes or the clap, but I'm going to feel the burn on this one.
So you're rolling with Bernie Sanders.
I'll just let that soak in.
No, you don't want that to soak in.
Yeah, I'm going to feel the burn, Bernie Sanders.
I'm going to go with Asha ADD as well. Yes, I'm going to go with Bernie Sanders on this one because Elizabeth Warren, yeah. After hearing that clip, I'm going to go with Bernie.
Do you know what the underdogs out there said? 55% of underdogs are going with, I'm not a person of color.
Interesting.
Wow. Elizabeth Warren winning the votes 55 to 45.
Wow.
And a shocker.
That's okay. Well, I'm going to stick with my vote.
We'll see. This is a tough one.
I don't think it's that tough.
But, well, no, I'm saying it's a tough one because 55% of underdogs were rolling with Elizabeth. So that made it a tough one. But as of right now, I think I'm leaning towards Bernie because he is even more progressive than Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. He has a proven track record of getting 40% of the votes in last, 40% of the Democratic primary votes. And head-to-head in a lot of polls, it says that he would beat Trump. So, I don't know. He seems to fight a little bit more for the underdog. And he's shown us that he could probably win if he could ever get into a head-to-head with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he's never been quoted as saying he's not a person of color.
Exactly. True. Like, it sound like Elizabeth's voice in that video sounded like that's what white women say when they get stopped by the police. Like, I am not a person of color. Please let me go.
Coming for Elizabeth Warren. Now, with that being said, they both have been problematic at times when it comes to race, but I'm leaning towards Bernie for this one. Next up, you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Better for the underdogs.
What else? I'm about to tell a joke right as soon as you shut the f- up.
Better for the underdogs. You can get with that or you can get with this.
You only got Tiffany Haddish. She's been doing comedy since she was 16. You can't tell me your favorite Tiffany Haddish joke.
Can you?
Why? Because she ain't done a tour yet.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't done a special. She has not proven the ability to tell jokes back to back for an hour to nobody. And they are already ready to down Monique and up somebody who has showed them Girls Trip. Did you think she wrote Girls Trip, goofball?
You can get with this. Or you can get with that. Better for the underdogs. Tiffany Haddish, comedian, actress, author, and known for her big breakthrough in Girls Trip in 2017. Or Cat Williams, comedian, actor, and rapper. Dipset. Terry Lynn, TLC. Better for the underdog.
I'm going to go with Cat Williams because I find him hilarious. And he's not afraid to speak his mind. I know in a lot of interviews he's done, he's exposed Hollywood and the industry and just how things work behind the scenes, and his image has been tarnished because of that. He's been in jail. They try to discredit his reputation, and he still is very affirmed in what he talks about. And he also won an Emmy for Atlanta.
Okay.
The show. So I'm gonna go for Cat.
Florida man.
Yes.
ADD.
You know,
I know you're torn on this one.
I am not. I think that Tiffany Haddish is a wonderful representation of an underdog making it. You know, if anybody knows, she grew up in the foster care system. And I think, you know, she went through a lot of hurdles to make it to where she is today. Cat Williams has been grinding and struggling, and he's obviously an underdog in his own right. And he has definitely earned his place in comedy right now. But when you say who's real, who's really fighting for the people, I'm definitely going to have to go with Cat Williams on this one. I think Tiffany's an awesome actress and whatnot, but, you know, for those that don't know that situation, she had her New Year's Eve show in Miami, and the night before she was partying all night till 7 a.m. She had a show she was headlining that night, and she got on stage and she like forgot half her jokes. So that clip that Gregory played earlier was, you know, not that long into the set of an hour show where she literally just couldn't remember her jokes. And me being a stand-up, there's never going to be a time where I don't remember half my set. Like, I'm not going to stop doing comedy to then turn it into a meet and greet with the audience. Like, I think that is different and fundamentally what Kat was trying to say.
What's your favorite Tiffany Haddish joke?
I ain't got one, bro.
Underdogs, let us know.
But I liked her in Girls Trip, though. What's my favorite Tiffany Haddish movie? Ask me that. And she does have two specials, by the way, so leave her alone. They're just not that funny.
I didn't ask you that.
They're not that funny.
I am not a person of color.
I didn't ask you that. I think we also have a caller in line, so we're going to go to them in a second. Hopefully they'll be able to weigh in. But Underdogs have weighed in on this one. Who they think is better for the Underdogs? 70% say Tiffany Haddish.
Wow, we are just interesting. Opposite.
I think they're holding against Kat the altercation he had with a 14-year-old, probably.
I mean, he didn't. I mean, it was a fight. But just so that people don't think he's R. Kelly, like he didn't. It wasn't that kind of an altercation. He fought a 14-year-old, and he has kids that are like that age or older.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah, Happy New Year.
Same to you, Gregory. How you doing?
Hey, I can't complain. I'm much better now. Deborah from Manhattan's on the line.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Deborah, are you going to weigh in here on either one of these? Who's better for the underdog?
I'll weigh in on both.
Thank you.
All right, so you got Bernie
like
and Warren.
Bernie. I never liked Bernie, and don't ask me why. I don't feel him, never have. He always comes off as the Pied Piper, and young people just seem to just fall all over him. And I can't understand it. I mean, he says one thing, but, you know, he lives a real, 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 real good life. And so, you know, don't tell me about the poor. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, you're just sipping the best wine and eating the best whatever. You know what I mean? He bothers me a lot. And I've known educators like him, you know, patches on the sleeve, and you know, they despise people who are poor, and I would rather just deal with someone who lives in a castle, have no intentions of leaving their castle unless you burn it down. At least you know who they are.
And I get that, Deborah, but I purposely put Warren and Sanders in there because it would force us to, at least in this scenario, have to choose between two people that we probably...
I don't want to choose.
I know, but Deborah, that's...
And I'm going to tell you what... All right, between... if we're talking about politicians, I say Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
Because I can see her as a person giving it to Donald Trump.
And I get that. And also, Deborah, the reason why I ask people to choose is because in reality, we might have to choose.
No, you have to choose when it comes to politicians, but you don't have to choose when it comes to comedians. And you can have more than one person. It's just like you have more than one television station. If you don't want Tiffany, if you want someone else, turn the channel and look at her. Why do we always have to choose one?
Well, we don't, but who's your favorite of the two, though?
I don't have a favorite. I like both of them.
Okay. All right. You're a Tiffany Haddish fan and Cat Williams fan, which is cool because some people, Cat kind of rubs the wrong way, but I'm glad that you actually appreciate both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. And then, Deborah, before we get out of here, I'm asking folks what their word of the year is. What's a word that comes to mind that's going to be your word for 2019?
I don't know.
Okay. Just so you know, I'm thinking of mine too, but I think mine might be growth.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay.
I'm with you, Greg. Talk to you later.
Hey, Deborah, I appreciate you. That's Deborah from Manhattan. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye, Deborah.
Bye.
That's Deborah from Manhattan saying she appreciates both.
Yeah.
And she's a little lukewarm on politicians in general, but of the two, if she had to pick, she's rolling with Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. And 55% of the underdogs are rolling with Elizabeth Warren, too. Mm-hmm. We the outliers here. Mm-hmm. All right, we got two more before we get out of here.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, you can get with this.
Flame here, sicko mode. Made this here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they get me loose. Yeah, jump out, boys. That's Nike boys hopping our coat.
You can get with that, or you can get with this.
When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest days. This who taught me golden waves. Made me truly, this is what made me great.
I really love that song, actually. With that, are you going to get with Better for the Underdogs, Travis Scott, about to perform potentially at the Super Bowl, or Chrisette Michelle, who performed at Donald Trump's 2016 inauguration? Better for the Underdogs, Travis or Chrisette, Terry Lynn. I know you might say neither, but that's not how we play Unlisted.
I'm going to go with Travis Scott because I love that album. I want to see him set fire on that stage. And also, I don't understand how Chrisette could sing at the inauguration after everything that Trump said, after he talked about white nationalists being great people, and he said Puerto Rico wasn't a real catastrophe, and they just got electricity like a couple of months ago. So for her to do that is something I can't really understand. So I'm going to go with Travis Scott.
ADD?
Can I be like Deborah and say,
see what you did, Deborah? See what you did, Deborah? See what you did, Deborah?
I don't want to. You know what? No.
And I love Deborah and I love Anta Davis and Jerry Lynn. So, yes, you can call an audible.
Sicko Mode. I liked Sicko Mode. I also liked that song with Chrisette and Nas. I actually thought Chrisette Michelle had a gorgeous voice. She lost a lot of opportunities from doing that inauguration. Mm-hmm. If you're making me force a choice and pick one, I'm gonna have to say Drake.
Chrisette Michelle says she's going to do what she believes God wants her to do, and that is led by her new album. Chrisette Michelle is launching a gospel album this year.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's coming back. God, she's going to be on Christian
Mingle. I tell you.
Speaking of people that need Jesus.
No, she's coming back. With that, the underdogs out there voted 70% for Travis.
There you go. Look, we got one out of three in line.
I'm hoping Travis is the mole and that he's going to get up there and perform and then like make some statement or something.
Absolutely
like that.
Not. He's married not to a that. Kardashian Jenner. That's not going to happen. You saw what's happening to Kanye. Kanye on stage wearing his MAGA hat is what's going to occur.
We shall see. Underdogs, let us know. You rolling with Travis or you rolling with Chrisette? I actually think Better for the Underdogs could be Travis because he can learn from Chrisette Michelle. He still has time now to back out or do something different. And in the world of, like, to Deborah's point, entertainment versus politics, Chrisette was doing something related to a politician, someone who can literally impact our lives in a negative way for the past 2 years. And Travis is, you know, while we may be upset about the NFL and this and that, a lot of y'all still watching football anyway. So if Travis want to go perform and do his thing, that story I would side more with than the Chrisette Michelle one. But we'll see. With that, last one. Anger or apathy? Better for underdogs.
Anger.
Terry Lynn?
I'm going to go with anger.
71% of folks went with apathy.
Wow. What? That's crazy. No.
Yes. And this one actually... I actually will jump in and say that you were both right. And when it comes to levels of energy, it's always better to be engaged and at least willing to fight for something than it is to be apathetic and out of it. And if we use politics as an example, come on now, what's better? People not wanting to go out and vote or protest or not do anything, just sit at home. Or even if they're not voting, at least resisting and protesting and having their voices be heard. It's always better to have some anger than some apathy. And actually, then it's better to have neither one of them and move into some other energy levels. But yes, anger actually is better energy level than apathy. Y'all got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why y'all here. With that, we've come to the close of the show. We're going to do a quick underdog spotlight, and that is spotlighting ADD and TLC, what their word is for the year, and then I'll share mine before we get out of here. Who, you, no, somebody's got to go first.
My word was growth.
What?
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
You took, I swear to you,
no,
it was
you
growth.
You just saying it.
But I can change it. A couple of words.
You don't have to change your word. Underdog. If your word is growth, keep your growth word.
Also, I wanted to say belief in self, because I feel like at
that's
times,
more than one word.
I know it's a couple of words, but I feel like at times we doubt our creative like vision, and I feel like we shouldn't do that. You should just go for it and stop doubting ourselves. So I'm gonna apply that to myself. Just believe more in my creative vision.
Cool. And what I hear from that, if I had to sum it up in one word, is trust.
Yes.
And that's what, and that trust can mean trust in yourself, trust in the process, trust in it's all going to work out. And so I love that. Mm-hmm. ADD, your word for 2019.
Consistency.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
All right. One liner. What does that mean for you?
Make sure that I continue to be consistent with the things that are important to me. So if I can turn around 6 months later and be like, I have 6 months worth of effort to show for these specific things, and I know that I'm on the right track. Be consistent. Form habits. Yeah. Habits are better than goals.
Yes, we are what we repeatedly do.
Yes.
And showing up and showing out is definitely a big deal. So I love that consistency. Persistency. She did. She persisted. Keep going. I love it. Guess what mine says?
Growth.
How do you know?
I don't, you call it a huncho. Okay, I'm done.
My word for the year, just so you know, it was, I had three words I was considering, because I do what I think my values or culture I want to create for the year are. So the three values for the year are resourcefulness, collaboration, and growth. And then if I had to pick like one word that sums it all up, is this going to be a year of growth for myself, for the people I'm around. I just want us all to keep growing. And I appreciate that both TLC and ADD have been a part of the journey. ADD for a while now, and Terry Lynn now just getting started. But I want us to keep growing in 2019.
Speaking of growth, I'm excited for Tuesday.
Yes, yes, indeed. And for folks who may not know, I'm going to be hosting a vision board workshop, so to speak, but a night where we get together and connect with good people, reflect on last year, and get ready for telling the universe what we really, 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 really want in 2019.
Let's make a vision board Tuesday with Gregory, Underdog Stuff, Harlem, holla.
Yes, indeed. And with that, we're coming to the big close of the show. Thank you to Deborah for calling in. Thank you for all the online comments. Shout out to ADD and TLC for being in studio, and the live show producer Megan and the podcast editor Kayla. Appreciate y'all. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can. You know what we do here, live show Sunday, podcast Monday. You can check out the podcast by searching Underdog Stuff on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. And if you want to keep up on the things I'm up to, like Asha mentioned, the vision board workshop and other things, just go to gregorynesmith.com, click the subscribe button, and then I'll send you an email probably like once a week to let you know what's going on in my world and with Underdog Stuff. And with that, I'm gonna leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace. One.